It's good to see everybody out this morning. Again, I hope that everybody's being encouraged as we go throughout our worship service to God and have been encouraged as we've already went this far into our worship, singing songs. And of course, the greatest encouragement we can have is truly the remembrance of what Christ has done for us, the sacrifice, the willingness, the patience, the endurance he had to be able to go through such things, and the love that they continue to show to us, and allowing us to be alive today and continue in this wonderful creation of his. A lesson I'd like to bring out this morning is a lesson I had done. Again, I brought out that I would do a few of the lessons I had done in the gospel meeting in Evansville, and this is one of them. And going forth and talking and asking the question, are you a parent? And my last point will go along with the point of, are you their child? Are you actually the child that you're supposed to be? And again, it's in that mindset of not just asking, have you any children, but are you stepping up and being the father that God has told you to be? Are you being a mother that you are supposed to be according to the Scriptures? And are we children according to the Scriptures? Are we acting as we are supposed to, or do you simply have kids? Do you simply just take that title because you have your own kids? And so I hope that you open up your Bibles and follow along with me as we go through this lesson and see what it is the Word of God has to say. So the first thing I want to bring out, just a couple of points and to look at the Word of God. And one is, do you consider your children joy? And the mindset of, are you a parent? We do have to ask this question, do you consider children a joy? And I know, personally, I have four kids, that there are times in which they can drive you insane. There's times in which you want to blame the kids for you losing all the hair in the back of your head, or your hair going gray, and other points that we might make, and we might joke around with other people that might be considering or having children or about to have children, and joke around, make some comments about why it's not a good idea. But overall, if we look to the Scriptures, we should see that children are supposed to be a joy in our life. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, after God had created man and woman in his own image, in verse 28 it says, and God blessed them. And God blessed Adam and Eve, man and woman. He blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And here he blessed Adam and Eve and told them to have children. This is one of the, again, not necessarily a direct command, because we know not everyone gets married, not everyone has children. It's not a sin not to have children. But here, he has blessed them and tells them to be fruitful and multiply, have children, because they are a blessing from God. In Psalm 127, the 127th Psalm here, in verse 3 through 5, Psalm 127, starting in verse 3, says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And here again, it is a reward. It says God has rewarded you with children. And even to the point of saying, it's like one who is a warrior, one who is a hunter, and he has arrows. But, you know, if you only have one arrow, then you're only good for one shot. But one who has a full quiver, blessed is the one who has men. And again, one thing I always point when I read this verse, my mind has to go to my grandparents, because my grandparents just love to quote that verse. Because they have so many grandchildren, so many great-grandchildren now. And they love that verse. And again, Proverbs 17 and verse 6, Proverbs 17 verse 6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the age. And so here again, it's just how children are supposed to be a blessing. They're supposed to be a blessing, something that gives you joyful thoughts when we think about our children. And so as a parent, that should be something that is in our mind. That is something that we should sit back and say, well, am I a parent? Am I joyful? Am I happy? Do my kids bring joy to me? And then another question we have to ask is, do we provide for our children? And do we take care of them? And provide means so many things that as we would look at this verse here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The first thing I want to point out is that most of these verses are actually talking about taking care of a widow, talking about when we get older. And so it's another verse we can come back to as we talk about already being a children at the end of the lesson. But here it says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But here, so it says, especially of those of your household. And so here, do you provide for your children? They're of your household. And what does provide mean? Well, we talk about putting food on the table, clothes on their backs, a roof over their heads, warmth when it's winter. And of course, we've had some good weather lately, but when it does get real cold out there, you know, we would provide for them. We provide protection. We give them that comfort. We provide them a place to be at ease and safe at home. There's so much, I believe, that we can just apply and look at these verses and say, well, do we provide for our children? And another couple points I want to look at this morning as we talk about being parents and providing for them, the question is, do we provide the discipline that they need? Are you disciplining your children as the time comes up and you need to be willing to discipline? So many today get caught up in a mindset of just being friends with their children. They don't want to go as far as disciplining their children, telling their children no, or go forth and even willing to maybe put them in the corner or put them in timeout or even spanking and whipping their children. But we need to see what it is the Word of God has to say about this in Proverbs 13. In Proverbs 13, if you turn along with me here, and looking at verse 24, Proverbs 13, in verse 24, it says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent in to discipline him. And so here it brings out is that it says, if you hate your child, then sure, just ignore him. If you hate your child, then don't discipline. Don't get the rod. Don't spank your child. But if you love him, then you're going to step up and discipline diligently. Yet I can remember a brother in Christ who hated the proverb that men have come up with, the spare the rod, spoil the child. Because he would say, well, that's not found in the Bible. You can't find that in the scriptures that it says spare the rod, spoil the child. No, I always say it's much worse. One who is willing to spare the rod hates his child, is what the Bible says. It's worse than just saying, well, I spoiled my child. It's saying you don't love him. Because when we think about this, when we think about the actions behind it, why it is you're doing it, and as we're going to be talking about, and the teaching that comes behind it. When the child reaches for these sockets and starts to poke stuff inside of it or put its finger inside of it, we smack their hands. Why? Because we don't want them to get electrocuted. When they're about to walk out in front of vehicles and cross the road without looking and seeing what happens, we yank them back and get on to them. Why? Because we don't want them to get hit. There's a time and need for discipline so that they can learn the right way to do things. So they can learn and not have to make bigger mistakes in the future. Hebrews chapter 12. Again, this is an example that we are learning from our God, learning from our Lord. Hebrews 12 and in verse 5, it says, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addressed you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises everyone whom he receives. And so, the Lord, who does he discipline? Who does he come forth and rebuke? I mean, you take the example again. He loved Peter. We know he loved his disciples. But when Peter stood against our Lord and said, far be it, I'll never allow this to happen to you, he turned around and rebuked them and said, get behind me, Satan. He had to try to fix Peter's mindset to the will of God and not to the will of ourselves, of men. That'd been a hard thing to overcome. But he had to discipline. He had to rebuke him at that time and point. As many as the Lord loves, he disciplines. And we see that time again through the Old Testament that the Lord did rebuke and discipline the children of Israel.
when they were caught up in sin, and they got caught up in idolatry, he would send the prophets and warn them. And when they would not heed the prophets, then they would be disciplined until they got rid of the idols, until they repented of their sins, until they turned to God. And we see here in Hebrews 12 and verse 11, it says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful." I mean, that's right, right? We sit there and we look at it, I can't bear seeing my child crying. I can't bear to see my child in pain. But it says that it's a time to moan, it seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been retained by it. And so when we are disciplined, yes, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to be told you're wrong. It doesn't feel good if you got a spanking from your parents. It doesn't feel good at all. But in the end, if they learn from it, the reward is great. The reward will be worth it. To go forth and allow them to be in pain for a short moment. I mean, how many times is it that you discipline a child, you give them the spanking? It's not long. Yeah, they might cry for a while, but it's not long before they're playing again if they're allowed to get up and go play. It's not long. It's lasts for a short while, but hopefully the lesson lasts a lifetime. In Proverbs 29 and in verse 15, says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Verse 17 says, "Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart." Discipline, but left alone, says, it brings shame to the parents, shame to the mother. Why is that? Why does it say that? Well, it's just in the mindset of a child who is fooled, a child who gets away with everything, a child who never gets told no, a child that never gets told that they have to stop and gets in trouble, is a child that grows up and thinks he can just do anything in the world. Thinks he can drink and drive, thinks he can run the stop sign, thinks he can steal whatever he wants and have no consequence. Comes down to it, they'll think that, hey, I don't have to go to church because I'm not going to get in trouble. There's no consequence to it. There's no one holding me accountable for my actions. And then someone else will have to discipline. Whether it be the authorities of the law of the land, or when it comes down to the day of judgment, and it be our God. Is that where we want them to end up? Or do we want to discipline them now, while they are young, while they're in our home, and we have the opportunity to train them right, to lead them in the right direction? Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Here it reads, "Discipline your sons, for there is hope." I believe some translation says, "While there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting them to death." And so here it says, discipline them while there is still hope. Before it's too late. Now, not to compare children to pets, but to compare children to pets, and ask my wife, I will not get a pet that is older than a certain age. I always want them as a pup. Why? Because once they're at a certain age, you cannot train that dog to be the dog you want it to be. It's not going to follow my rules. It's not going to learn to sit when I tell it to sit. It's not going to learn its boundaries of where I say it can go, how to walk on the leash. That dog is trained however someone else trained. And again, I have good for those who are willing to adopt dogs that are older. I won't do it. I personally won't. Because I want to train the dog how I want it to be trained. Why it's young. Children get in a habit just the same way. And if they are not taught to do certain things the right way, then they're going to continue to go down that wrong path. But also look at the end of this verse, making sure we understand not putting him to death. It's not to beat that child until he cannot walk. It's not to go forth and try to cause them harm. We are doing this out of love. We're doing this because we want them to learn a lesson. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 21. You turn along with me here. And see, again, as we are to teach our children, it comes with discipline. And then here it brings it up, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And again, it's the same thing as we look in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4, as it says, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so here again, it's making the point of that we're not doing these things to cause them to be angry, to push them in the wrong direction, or because we're just mad as can be and angry as can be, and so we're going to take it out on the child. We're talking about disciplining them because they have done something wrong and they need to learn a lesson. Which brings us to another thing of which we're supposed to provide. We're supposed to provide teaching. We're supposed to show them and guide them and teach them the way that they should go. Not just tell them the things that they shouldn't be doing, but showing them the way they should act and live their lives upon this earth. Teaching our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. And read along with me here in verse 7. And it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorsteps of your house and on your gates. It says, you shall teach your children. Let them know how important God is. Let them know what the commands are. Let them remember who Jesus is and what He has done. When? Not just on Sunday. Not just when you're here and letting the Bible class teacher do the job. But it says when your children are at home and they sit. When they stand up. When they go to bed. When they rise up and wake up. Let it be throughout the house that you have some scriptures. Let them see it as they're walking out right there by the door. When they're walking out right there. When they come back in. Let them see that God comes first. Let them know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As long as they live under my roof, we are going to serve God. Teach your children. Isaiah 54. I'm looking here in verse 13. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. Here it reads and says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. If they are taught by God, what comes with that? There will be peace with the Lord. Because they're going to know right from wrong. They're going to know that God is going to take care of them as long as what? As long as they keep His commandments. Teach your children. But understand, it's not just trusting that they're being taught the right things here in class, but making sure they're being taught right at home. We can't expect children to become Christians just because you bring them here to Bible class. When children decide to obey the gospel, and the children come to me, or parents come to me, I honestly put in a lot of faith in the parents if they are ready. I will go to the parents and ask, do you think they're ready? Do you think they understand? I might ask the children a couple questions, but I'm trusting the parents' opinion on the matter because the parents are going to know the children more than I do. The parents, I'm hoping, are studying with them at home, teaching them at home. I know what they've heard here since I'm preaching. I know what they're learning in the classes as we see what's being taught back there. Parents are the ones that are supposed to be guiding their children in the right direction. Fathers, step up and lead your children. In Ephesians chapter 6, again, we already read this, but reading it again, Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Instruct the children in the ways of God, showing them and guiding them in the right direction, willing to tell them no, and yes, making sure that they do come to worship. Again, one of the things that always bothers me is when I run into people, and I've heard it recently when I was coaching baseball, one of the parents, you know, I invited him to come to worship, and this is one of the points that he had brought, well, I'm going to let the kid make the decision. I don't want to force a religion on my child. Think of all the things that we do force on our children. We make sure they go to school. We don't give them the option, right? We make sure they learn.
You make sure that they know what they can and cannot do. If they're, you know, I guarantee if I let Josiah and Kater want to drive, they'll go ahead and drive. But guess what? I'm not going to let them. They're not old enough. They don't have their license. You know, another thing that they're going to continuously do, they'll play Fortnite on the game all day long if we don't give them instruction on how much they can play. They'll play Mario. They'll be on the TV all day long. But guess what? We're willing to tell them no. We're willing to say no, you only get so much time. No, not today. We make sure that, you know, you'll let your children at this age drink and do drugs, go around swearing and cussing. There's certain things that we're willing to tell our children yes and no to. But when it comes to faith and it comes to being here at worship on Sunday, coming to Bible class on Wednesday, when it comes to studying the Bible at home, praying at home, well, that's up to them. I'll let them make that decision. The most important thing that could come to their lives on why we say no to drugs, why it is that we have to abide by the law, why it is we do these things, comes down to our faith in God. And yet that's the one spot that we say, oh, we'll let them make that decision. Now it comes down to when they choose to get baptized, that's up to them. But again, as long as you live under my house, we will serve the Lord. We will put God first in our lives. Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, and this is the hope and the idea, the faith that we have, that as long as we teach him while there is time, it reads here, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not saying that it never happens. The children who come to church every Sunday that are taught at home never fall away. But with example, there are things that we are taught by our parents that we just hold on to the rest of our lives. How often I get caught up in quoting the way my dad says something. The way my dad taught me. And there's often times I'm up here and preaching. I know the way I say it is the way I heard my dad say it. And I try to catch myself because I want to make sure it's my faith and not my dad's faith. As long as it's aligned up in the truth and not just his way, but it's God's way. We need to make sure we are teaching our children while there is time. And that means that we lead by example, that we shine our lights unto them. Again, there in Matthew 5:13, we are the light of this world. We are the salt of the earth. But how much more does that mean when we're at home? That we are shining examples to the children. I want my children to go to church, but do you go to church? I want my children not to be drunk, but do you drink at home? I don't want my children to swear and curse. What do you do at home? What do you watch? What do you listen to? What is it that we are showing our children? What example is it that we're showing? Well, I hope they don't end up like me. Well, then change. Then you need to repent and show them and guide them in the direction that they need to go. Lead by example. Teach by example. 3 John, I'm looking at verse 4. 3 John, and in verse 4, it says here, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. What a thought, right? The moment that the great joy that I've had with my children so far, and times that they have done great things, they enjoyed watching them play sports, enjoyed when I hear good things from their teachers, but when they're singing out during class and I hear, or during worship, and I hear other parents or adults make mention of that, or they're making good comments in class, and the teachers let you know about that, or they bring it to me, or they're the ones at night that remind me, hey, we haven't read the Bible yet tonight. They're the ones reminding me. No greater joy than when they obey the gospel, when they are Christians and followers of God. Not, oh, no greater joy than when they graduate, or when they get married. Greater joy when they obey the gospel. That means you have to be willing to teach them, willing to guide them in the right direction, be willing to push them and show them where they should be going. And again, as we think about all this, our God is the greatest example that we can go to learn from. He is our Father up above. We are His children.
And we can learn about love. We can learn about patience. We can learn about forgiving our children. We can learn about endurance. So much. Not showing partiality if we have multiple children. God loves us all. As brought out, I do want to bring out a point of asking the question, are you children? Are you being the child that you should be? If you are at that age and you have obeyed the gospel, you're accountable for your actions and how you treat your parents. You're accountable for how you obey and respect your parents. We go back to Ephesians. Going back to Ephesians chapter 6, but reading the first few verses above verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verses 1 through 3, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Children, obey your parents. Honor, respect your mother and father. Understand, this is a command from God. This is what we are instructed to do. And so if you still live under the roof of your parents, and you still live them, and your dad's still the man of the house, he's still in charge of that family, and your mother's still there, you are to obey them. Otherwise, if you're at that age and you've obeyed the gospel, you acknowledge what the Word of God says, we are accountable for saying no. We're accountable for going against the Word of your parents. Children, obey them. Then how we treat our parents, showing them love, showing them honor, and respecting them for providing for us and giving to us. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12, here again, one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, that the days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving. Honor your parents. We read Proverbs 17 verse 6 earlier as it talked about how grandchildren are the heritage or the joy of grandparents. But then it goes into this point, parents are the pride of the children. Again, can we get back and caught up in saying that? Can we sit back and truly say, again, it comes to that relationship that parents have with the children and how they're guiding them in the right direction. But it's fun. It's you know, when children are really young and they have the mindset of, I want to be like dad. Or, I want to be like mom. The mindset right now is going to, when Josiah was real small, baby, learning to walk, and he's got my belt with a belt buckle all the way around, wrapped two or three times around his belly. And you got his feet right inside of my boots where they go all the way up to his waist, right? Wearing daddy stuff. It's pride to be with your parents. The pride that they give to you. To love them. To honor them. To respect them. And that means when they get older that we're going to be willing to step up and take care of them. Also, Proverbs 1 verse 8, that we're willing to listen. I mean, Proverbs is continuously that relationship of a father to a son, or as you get to the end of the chapter, a mother to the son, parents to the children. Proverbs 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Are we listening to them? Are we going to step up and think about how our parents have taken care of us and everything that they had done for us? Are we going to step up and help take care of them? 1 Timothy chapter 5 again, reading verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Verse 16, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that they may care for those who are truly widows. Giving back as they have already given to you. How they raised you when you could not do anything for yourself. How they provided for you when you could not walk, when you could not eat, when you could not do anything by yourself. And as parents, again, that we are humble enough to sit back and say, this is the circle of life. This is the way God designed it to be. And not deny our children the opportunity to give back to us. We want to hold back and say, and I understand the mindset of, well, I don't want my children to ever have to take me into their homes when I get older and take care of me when I can't do things on my own. Because, you know, we want them to live their life and be joyful. I don't want to be a burden to. Guys, this is fulfilling the commands of God. Children should be willing to and wanting to. And as parents, this is the time we finally humble ourselves and willing to let the children step up and help us. As you have helped them and guided them all their lives. This is in keeping the commandments of God. Are we being children as we ought to? Are we helping as we ought to? Do we respect and honor as we should? Just a final point to make in the lesson this morning is to know that parents are not going to be judged if their children do not end up in the right path. And same thing with children. Children are not going to be judged if the parents end up on the wrong path. There's a verse in Ezekiel that strictly points to that, shows us and guides us to that. And if you desire that verse, I'll get to you later. But I believe that a good example is going to the book of Kings and following the lineage of King Josiah. It was on a good path, but then you go to his dad and grandfather, but then you go to great-grandfather. You look at it, and you got one that does good, and you got one that does bad, and I think it was one, two, one. And, you know, there's that path that you go down, and then you had a good king, you had a bad king, you had another bad king, and you had a good king. And so it's not necessarily just because one is on the wrong path that the other has. But while there's opportunity at home, parents, you are accountable. If we are not doing our part, we will be accountable for if you did your part. You'll be accountable for teaching and guiding them in the right direction. As parents, as children, we'll be accountable for how we show respect and honor and obeying our parents. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you have yet to obey the gospel, we extend the opportunity to be baptized, to wash your sins away. To hear you know the truth because you've been taught the truth at home, or maybe it is your children who have taught you. They have obeyed the gospel and they've got you to start coming. That's a good thing too. If we can assist you in anything, we let it be known as we stand and sing.